Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc., last 10 minutes of today's program on Tuesday afternoon, February the 16th. We're going to talk a little bit about embryo adoption. It sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's real. Many pro-lifers view it as a way of dealing with what in other ways is an almost impossible situation. So-called spare embryos, frozen indefinitely. What do you do with them? Some say adopt them and then bring them to term. It was also a headline, in fact, a front-page story in Sunday's St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Embryo Adoption Plants a Complex Family Tree. Well, there's no doubt about that. Joining us to talk about embryo adoption, Jennifer Lall. She's National Director for the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network based in San Ramon, California. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I'm quoting from a headline and a front-page story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Sunday about embryo adoption. Arthur Kaplan, the head of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, questions whether or not we can really call this adoption in the same sense that we call adoption in other cases, equating embryos with orphans or foster kids. He says, if you have to make a moral choice between adopting a baby or an embryo, is it really possible to say there's no difference? How would you answer that question?
Well, I would tell Dr. Kaplan, with all due respect, that that's a false choice because, you know, in fact, the human embryo is a human being, just as a child orphaned in Haiti, human being, and they're both, in the case of embryo adoption, they are orphaned. Sadly, this is a whole area of technology that's totally preventable. And I'm always trying to tell people that are in the business of embryo adoption to, you know, work with me and organizations like mine to work themselves out of business, because we can stop creating surplus children, surplus people, making them in the laboratory, making too many of them so that they end up in the cold storage freezer with this debate on, you know, do we donate embryos or do we adopt them?
So there's a deeper problem here beyond just a question of adoption for embryos. It really is, how are we coming by all these quote-unquote surplus embryos? Make that clear for our listeners. Where are these surplus embryos coming from?
Yes, they're created in fertility clinics, fertility practices. Fertility medicine, it was supposedly going to solve all of our problems addressing infertility. And this is a technology that advanced without any kind of reflective criticism. So now we have all the unintended consequences. And in this case, the issue of surplus embryos. Because the technology is very expensive, the aim is to try to create as many as possible in the hopes that the couple will end up with a child or perhaps two children or maybe three. But they, on purpose, intentionally create many, knowing that the efficiency, that lots of embryos will be lost along the way. Fertility medicine only has about a 30% success rate. And because it's so expensive, they say, well, let's create a lot so that hopefully you'll end up with a couple of kids. And then inadvertently, there are multiple embryos that are left over. And people say, well, you know, gee, we never really wanted to have 20 children. So let's put those surplus embryos in the freezer, and now we have the debate, do we use them for research for stem cells to cure people, or can they be adopted by couples who want to rescue them and bring them to life?
Some people are saying, look, or I guess they're assuming, you couldn't do IVF, in vitro fertilization, without the maximum number of embryos created. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's not true at all, because if you look at the first test tube baby, which was Louise Brown, they didn't hyper stimulate Mrs. Brown's ovaries, they just took one egg and they fertilized it and they implanted that fertilized embryo back into Mrs. Brown, and Louise Brown was born. If you look at the German federal law says you can only create three embryos and they must be implanted. They may not go into the freezer. So we don't have to aggressively superovulate women so that they spit out 20 eggs at a time, which then lends itself to this dilemma of having multiple surplus extra embryos that have to be frozen while we decide what to do with them. So back to, you know, Kaplan's point, which is, well, how could you actually look at an orphan in Haiti and an orphan in the orphan embryo in the freezer and say that they're the same? Well, of course they're the same, because we know if we take that embryo out of the freezer and we thaw it out and plant it in a womb, in 9 months we'll have a baby.
All right, then. On the other end, if we could, let's address the question of why these embryos would need to be adopted. One might say they can keep, if you will, virtually indefinitely if they are properly stored and frozen. So there's no. This is a solution in search of a problem. They're perfectly fine frozen as they are.
Well, you know, if you agree that they are human beings, you can say, well, they're frozen, but what does that do to the dignity of, you know, future children? We don't need you right now. We're just going to keep you in the freezer till about, you know, 20, 25 years from now. I mean, I just think that's an affront on the dignity of human life, that we would keep it, you know, indefinitely suspended in cold storage. So, you know, I don't think that's right. I've written a book review on Catholic thinking in the area of embryo adoption and embryo donation. I'm not a Roman Catholic, but you can see just within the Catholic theology that we haven't really thought through what's the right way to handle these children. Do we thaw them out and allow them to die and treat them as terminally ill? Do we allow them to be rescued and adopted by couples that are infertile or single women who've never been married who would love to raise a child as a single mother? Do we give them to the scientific researcher? I don't think the solution is to keep them there. I think the better solution is to work by changing policy and changing attitudes to stop creating surplus people that we put in the freezer till we're ready for them.
Some would say, many do say, Jennifer, that the best use for the greater good of these embryos is to have them donated to research. They can provide stem cells for other research, and that's the best use for them. Your thoughts?
Well, the greater good argument is one, to quote my friend Dr. Bill Hurl, but it has no bottom to it, because then the greater good is always, you know, appealed to because there's going to be somebody that has a need. So whether the greater good is, you know, as we play out the healthcare debate, do we stop providing care for those that are terminally ill? Do we go to the death row inmates, you know, for the greater good of the person who's waiting for a liver transplant and kill them now? You know, I mean, there's just no end to that greater good. If you believe that one life can be extended because there's a greater good, it never ends.
So if you would, make the case, is embryo adoption good or bad for society?
These choices, because I want to say neither. What's good for society is to stop creating surplus people that end up in the freezer. That's better for women's health, because it's really dangerous to women's health to superovulate women with the powerful drugs that allows them to make more eggs so that they can make multiple embryos. That's harmful. So that's not a solution that I want to, you know, line up in support of. So I think, you know, while we have this 500,000 frozen embryos here in the United States, that moving forward, we should just move immediately to pass, you know, laws, federal, state, and otherwise, that demand that we no longer create more surplus embryos. Then we can have the debate over the ones that we have, knowing that we will create no more, because creating more is just adding to the problem. We can decide then if they can be adopted by couples, or if they can be adopted by single people, or if they should be left to expire and read their last rites or baptized or whatever your, you know, theological life after viewpoint is. But I think the thing that's best for society is to stop creating surplus embryos.
Finally, with 30 seconds, what would your best advice be to a couple that is considering in vitro fertilization and is concerned about the embryos that will be created thereby and what would happen to them in the future. What's your best advice to them?
My best advice for the infertile couple right now, and with all compassion for the barren womb and the heartache that that brings, is that there are many other ethical and safe options to extending one's family, whether that be through an embryo adoption, whether that be through opening up your home to the already orphaned among us or among you in your community, whether that be for you and your spouse to become actively involved in children's ministry and community work with young children. There are wonderful, full ways that you can experience parenthood without going down the in vitro fertilization route.
Jennifer Lawl is National Director for the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network, based in San Ramon, California. You'll find a link to the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Ash Wednesday. It will be Ash Wednesday. And the season of Lent. Dr. Paul Grimm of Concordia Theological Seminary will be our guest. Then on Thursday, we'll begin a weekly series on the penitential Psalms. That's appropriate to the season of Lent. A weekly series on the penitential Psalms. Pastor Todd Peppercorn will be our guest for that entire series. We create almost impossible situations when we do things that we should not do. That is, hyperovulate, create surplus embryos, think of them as surplus embryos. Pretty soon we're not thinking of them as human embryos at all, but as just fodder for research. They are children. They deserve our protection in life and in our laws. We need to change our laws to make sure that we don't make these kind of messes all the time. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.